white robe, perhaps with a red or brown tunic. Was he seated somewhere, surrounded by children, or at least by fuzzy animals, like lambs, or kitty cats, or dogs? And did he have that sort of serene look on his face that said all is well with him? Now, if you checked off at least three of them, more than likely, we have a very similar image of Jesus in our mind's eye, no matter how many times we've seen Jesus portrayed to us in art by different artists, or even in film or in stained glass, wherever we might see it, it's pretty much the same image, at least in our heart of hearts. And I would dare suggest to you today that more than likely the image that you have would not be dissimilar to the image of Jesus you might find printed on the cover of a children's Bible. That serene Jesus, who is, you're looking at him and surrounded by all things good and lovely, so approachable, you can almost hear the words begin to come out, "Suffer the little children to come unto me," or something like, "Come to me, all you who are burdened and are weary of life, and I will refresh you." This is the Jesus we so earnestly think about, and more often than not, that is the image of Jesus that we carry with us. Which makes today's scripture reading all the more challenging. Because if we go back and we hear the words of the gospel lesson that are read to us today, we see a very different kind of Jesus. We don't see a domesticated Jesus who is surrounded by warm and fuzzy things and so approachable and so comforting, but rather we see a Jesus that could be actually, rather than the Jesus that says, "Come to me, all who are weary," he's today's Jesus is someone who's trying to run away because he's exhausted, he's tired. He's going up to a place where there probably aren't very many people who are willing to listen to him so that he can rest a bit. He's almost saying, not "come to me, all you who are weary." He says, "I'm weary, now leave me alone, go away." But there's this woman. She's desperate. Wouldn't we be the same way? Our little girl, one of our children that we love so dearly, suffering from demon possession. And the language of the scriptures, that says something to us that it's not simply an illness, a fever, or a cold, or a flu, or something. It's something that so takes over one's body, mind, and spirit. It's nothing that a physician or a shaman or some or other kind of a healer can take care of. It requires an act of God to cast out a demon. Now this woman has heard all these stories about Jesus circulating through the land, and most of them probably seem to her too good to be true. After all, he walked on water. We've heard how he healed the paralyzed man. We hear how he healed the woman who suffered from a hemorrhage of some 7 years, and so on and so forth. It seems too good to be true. But rather, for this woman, wasn't too good to be true. It was so good, it had to be true. And so she was not gonna let him get away. Because it was her little girl, after all, who was possessed by the demon. Her little girl that she loved so much. She was not gonna let this person, this Jesus, get away from her. So she tracked him down. She found him. And she threw herself at his feet. And how did Jesus treat her? Get away. Go away. Quit bothering me. To the point where we hear how Jesus was living true to his own set of priorities. He saw his mission as coming to the children of Israel, to the chosen people of God, and setting them right with their God. And this woman, after all, was a Gentile. And not only was she a Gentile, she was of Syro-Phoenician origin, which meant she was, we might say even today, a person of color. She was really an outsider. And so Jesus sees her run up to him, and he basically says, you know, I've been working myself ragged, trying to heal the people of God, and here you're coming to me, you're not even part of that people, so go away. Jesus says it in a rather coarse way. It's not the Jesus of our image that we started with. He says, it's not right to give the food of the children to dogs. He's calling her, for lack of a better term, and I might be careful about this being my first Sunday preaching, but he was calling her a bitch. She was a dog, a female dog. What a way to treat her. Can you even imagine this Jesus you thought about just a few moments ago, having someone throw themselves at his feet, and he has that kind of disdain, that kind of pushing her aside, dismissing her as not worthy. But this was one smart woman. She didn't say, well, who do you think you are? She didn't say, oh, please don't call me those nasty names. She took what he said and turned it around on him. And said, all right, you think I'm a dog, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs of the children. So give me a crumb, heal my daughter. She was desperate in her belief that Jesus had the power to change her life. And so it was that she went to him, tracked him down, and didn't even listen to him when he called her that awful name. And said, I don't care what you think about me, my daughter needs you. And even Jesus' mind was changed at that moment. And he saw such great faith, desperate faith, but faith nonetheless. And he said, then go. Already done. Maybe that was a critical moment for Jesus. Maybe it was a moment in Jesus' own ministry where his human side was learning something more about human nature and about our hunger for God. Maybe that human side of Jesus was finally beginning to understand that his mission was not only for the chosen people, but indeed for the entire world. That is why we are. For that woman is us. We are not among God's chosen in that we are not of the race of Abraham. But Nonetheless, we, like that woman, have run to Jesus and said, heal us, save us, and so has he done. It is that Jesus that we worship today. It is that Jesus that has called us here. It is that Jesus who offers us the healing that he offered not only to this woman, who in his mind at first was so undeserving, but ultimately because of her faith, proved herself worthy of the kingdom of God. Where is your faith? Are you that desperate? Would you track Jesus down? Would you go to where you could find Jesus and throw yourselves at his feet and say, I don't care what you think of me, but save another? That's what God is asking us today. Are we willing to take away our very domesticated portrait of Jesus, that child's Bible vision of Jesus, of all the warm and fuzzies, and deal with the real Jesus, the Jesus who could be a little grumpy, the Jesus who could look the other way, the Jesus who sometimes needs to be convinced? It just goes to show that our relationship with God is not always smooth sailing. Oh, we would like it to be, but sometimes we have to pursue Jesus. We have to track him down and we have to throw ourselves at his feet. There are times in our life when we feel that Jesus has called us that nasty name, when he has abandoned us and has left us behind. His challenge to us is, come and find me. Pursue me. Be desperate in your faith. And you will find that which you seek. God calls us to life with him. It is not always smooth. It sometimes can raise us to big heights. Sometimes, like a big roller coaster, we go sliding down the other side. And we, like the psalmist, might cry out, I walk in the shadow of the valley of death. The remaining of that verse is our confidence and our consolation. But you are always with me. You are always there to guide me, to strengthen me, to lead me. Brothers and sisters, we hear this rather difficult passage today, a passage that tells us Jesus is not all sweetness and light, and that our relationship with God will sometimes be a bit rocky and like a roller coaster. But it is a relationship nonetheless. It is our faith, sometimes desperate, that calls us to pursue him and to find him. And when we do, to not count the cost for ourselves, but to say to him, heal us, save us. It's all we have to do. It's that simple. But it's that hard. It's that hard because it means that we have to take away our ego, our pride. This woman had no pride left because she loved so deeply. She gave up herself as has Jesus, and as he asks us to do for one another. This is the Jesus that calls us here. This is the Jesus that calls us to the altar. This is the Jesus that feeds us and bids us to take from here this message of love, this message of desperate faith and belief, and to encounter others in the world, in our daily lives, with that same witness that we are searching, we pursue, and we find. In that, God gives us his comfort. He is our rock and our refuge. He is our Lord. With that in mind, be mindful of God's love for you each and every day of this week. Be mindful that he is your strength and your rock, and walk